is, right? What do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Podcasting at the speed of the internet. This is the GeekCast with Aaron Crocco.
Hello to everybody out there in the podcast nation. Welcome to the GeekCast. I'm Aaron Crocco.
And I'm Gozer.
This is the GeekCast, episode 387, recorded on Tuesday, May 27th, 2014. I'd like to welcome everybody listening in all across the world. Thank you so much for joining us on another fun-filled edition of the GeekCast. And of course...
Hey, and we're actually up and running. Ah, not like the Ubisoft servers right now for Watch Dogs. Come on. Jesus.
Yeah. Ubi down.
Ubi dumb.
It could be worse. You could just, you know, for almost a year, tell people that an essential part of your gaming console is no longer needed after a year of telling people that it was. And just be stupid, well, like Microsoft.
Yeah, this new generation is not not that impressed so far. Yeah. Not gonna work in.
Yeah, seriously. I mean,
so anyway, on to things that are working out well. X-Men: Days of Future Past, which is the I'm not gonna even count Spider-Man because it did really well,
right?
But it wasn't a great movie. But this X-Men: Days of Future Past is getting a lot of hype, and it is 91% Rotten Tomatoes and 95% audience. So that is
That's really good.
So
yeah,
it's really hard to break that 90%.
Yeah,
and it is totaled 110 million.
That is a lot of money. Now here's
oh my God,
what?
A friend of mine just texted me. He's watching X-Men right now. We're going to go see it Friday.
It's okay, Gozer. Everyone dies in the end.
Yeah.
including Tyrion Lannister.
So basically, stop saying that because that might be true or may not be true. A couple of work friends and myself were going to go see it this Friday, not last Friday, opening weekend, because, I don't know, it didn't seem good for people. And I come to find out that two of them saw it already. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, I thought we were going to see it.
Guys, wait.
There it is in my iMessage. I'm looking right at it. Pops up again. I'm watching X-Men. And he probably went by himself. Just wait a couple days. Jesus, now I'm irritated.
Guys, wait a minute. What about me? Guys.
Anyway, all right. You know what? That's what I get for not scheduling an outing on opening night of a big blockbuster movie.
Yeah. So. Now, I've heard that this X-Men is supposed to undo, like, the last two X-Men movies, which sucked.
Which last two are you talking about?
Well, the last two was what? It was First Class and what? Wolverine?
I don't think it's undoing them. Wolverine, I don't even know why the Wolverine was made. I mean, it was okay. Like, I enjoyed it, whatever.
Yeah, but it was First Class and then the Origins, which I heard were pretty crappy.
Well, Origins Wolverine was pretty bad. I liked it, but then in retrospect, I was just like, yeah, it didn't really, I don't know. It was kind of a mess and didn't, I think it didn't follow the comics that well.
Okay.
And it's generally hated. But the most hated was The Last Stand, the third movie, which I did not see. I only saw
it was
the end
bad.
Fight scene.
I saw it. It was horrible.
I saw the end fight scene probably on FX, just flipping through channels, like maybe once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
But that did the best. The total gross for that, according to Box Office Mojo, was $234 million. Opening was $102 million, which beat out X-Men Days of Future Past opening weekend. And that was the same weekend for Memorial Day in 2006. So that's pretty interesting.
I've only seen the original three. All of them, the second one is really my favorite. Like,
the
that
second
one
was
so
good.
And
we actually saw the first one together. I remember that.
And it was awful. It was so bad.
I don't remember liking it that much.
Nothing happens. The entire story, nothing happens.
The second one I remember seeing and being like, okay, that was pretty cool. And like the whole Phoenix thing and Jean Grey and the flood and everything. And she tries to stop it and then she dies and everything. Oops, spoiler, sorry. For an 11-year-old movie. And then you have, yeah, The Last Stand, which I didn't see. And I own. I actually bought it for like $8 on Blu-ray. And I'm like, well, I never saw it, so I might as well just get it.
Might as well.
And then you have, yeah, Origins Wolverine, we just talked about. First Class was amazing. That came out in 2011. And I just remember really being blown away by that. It was kind of like a reboot. Like a prequel reboot took place in the 60s,
right?
Like a young Professor X and a young Magneto, and I thought it was fantastic.
It took place so long ago, Professor X was still captain of the Starship Enterprise.
Yeah. yeah, and then you have The Wolverine, which came out last July, and I saw it, and they introduced like Silver Samurai, which was just this old guy in a big armor outfit, and okay, what does this have to do with anything? But the secret scene at the end of the credits had to do with Days of Future Past, which is a really cool secret scene. Yeah, so Days of Future Past, I'm very excited to see it. And I think by Friday, I'm going to be the only one that hasn't seen it yet, apparently. Yeah, lots and lots of hype behind this. And this is only leading up to 2016 Age of Apocalypse, which I remember having the Apocalypse figure as a kid, maybe from the cartoon a little bit in the early 90s, but I really don't know much about that. This, you know, the superhero craze and getting ready for X-Men really got me excited about comics again, and I'll talk about that more in my Geek This Week. Because, you know, if you want to get into comics a little bit, but you don't want to spend the money on Comixology, I have another route for you. So
cool.
It's working out really well for me. So yeah. Days of Future Past, I'm sure everyone has seen it already except me.
Good job.
All right, go ahead. I'm gonna text my friend and yell at him.
Aww. I have no sympathy for you. All right, so yeah. Moving along here. LG had a big product announcement today. The G3, which is a quad HD resolution smartphone, which is crazy. If it were a camera, its laser autofocus would be an advantage, but the LG G3 smartphone is the most advanced cell phone pretty much that's been out there, and the specs are just absolutely crazy. So first off, it is a 5.5-inch IPS display with a resolution of 2560 by 1440. Like, this thing has massive amounts of pixels in it. Just I just can't get over the fact
that you really need that much.
I know. Like, it's look,
this phone.
5.5-inch display, but a 2560 display. Like, I think that's almost more pixels than in my iMac. Like, yeah. It's just absolutely nuts. It is as tall as HTC's One and Sony's Xperia Z2, but it is lighter than both of them. It has a quad-core Snapdragon 801 processor with up to 3 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of storage, and a micro SD card slot. But, you know, it's just really interesting to see what they've done here. They've actually redesigned its Android UI along the lines of the phone so that it works a lot like Google Now, which Google Now I use all the time. Like, I have the app. It's telling me about my traffic.
Are you using it now?
No, I'm podcasting. Okay. I use it a lot. Even though it's not as baked into iOS as it is into Android. For obvious reasons, you know, it's still really, really great. It has a 13 megapixel sensor on the phone, which is just like, wow. Oh my God, like, really? Like, okay. But it does come with optical image stabilization, which is cool. And of course, the aforementioned laser autofocus system. Like,
jeez, what is it? Scan someone's entire body when you take a picture of them?
Yeah, I really don't know. It's just,
I'm all
crazy.
For, like, pixels, why? But I'm all for, like, upping, you know, the camera on phones. Like, yeah, make it as crazy as it possibly can, you know,
well,
because cameras can only get, you know, better resolution. But
yeah.
But the resolution on a screen, like, you know, it's just a phone.
Yeah, well, the thing about the camera is I almost prefer the route that Apple goes, which is they put a good camera on the phone, but they try to make it a better, a more well-rounded camera. So yeah, they'll up the specs a little, but they'll put a better sensor so it's wider, you know, gets a wider angle, or it's better in low light and things like that. And, you know, obviously it's not going to be perfect, but, you know, yeah, 13 megapixel sensor, but what happens when you're trying to take a picture in low light or in op lighting conditions and things like that? I found with the iPhone, you know, on the 5S and even my 4S, point and shoot, it's really, really good. And obviously, if you zoom in far enough, you're going to get some pixelization and stuff. But the image quality, I'd say, is really, really nice. So it's, you know, one interesting thing about this is that it actually has a removable battery, which is not very common these days. And on top of that, it's going to come in black, white, gold, moon violet, and burgundy red. And it's going to be available in more than 170 carriers globally. And it comes out, when you guys are hearing this, March 28th.
May 28th.
Oh, sorry. May 28th.
You traveled back in time, oh, man.
May 28th. That's still tomorrow. But yeah, really interesting stuff. So it's the LG G3. Yeah, I mean, man, crazy stuff. And again, is this something that people want? I don't know.
Well, we will see, I guess.
Yeah. Anyhow, did you want to talk about this whole Ubisoft thing and Watch Dogs?
Oh, boy. Well, here's the thing. About a month ago, went on my Gamefly queue and put Watch Dogs on because I wasn't, you know, I'm very picky lately, especially, you know, just buying a new home and everything. And it's like, well, I'm not just going to go out and buy games that I'm excited about as much anymore. Also, Mario Kart comes out at the end of the week, so I already picked that up for pre-order. So I'm not going to get two games in 1 week. So I Gameflyed this a while ago, and I got it today, the day it launches, which is awesome because usually if you wait too long with Gamefly, it'll take you like 2 weeks to get like a new game, maybe even more. They have they show you like when a game is available, like if it's a low availability or like very low,
right,
or haha, you'll never get this for months. No, it doesn't say that, but so I was actually surprised I got it today, and popped it in, and 20 minutes later, nothing's happening. I should say 20 minutes after the install started, and it said ready to play, because I think you need to get about 10% for the install to start playing, which is pretty cool.
Okay.
But it doesn't play because it needs a stupid update.
It's
not updating. And it turns out, so of course I know because I'm trying over and over again. I just want to play this game. I'm pretty excited about it.
Right.
So I Google it, and yep, it turns out there's lots of problems. So it's available today. It's on 360, PS3, PS4, Xbox One, and PC. And a lot of people are having trouble waiting to get onto Uplay and Ubisoft servers, which I don't know. Uplay, I never... Oh, no, I did actually sign up for that for Assassin's Creed. But, yeah, so here is basically Ubisoft's response. Dear fans, with the release of Watch Dogs, we are seeing an exceptional increase in activity. Duh. It's a very anticipated game.
Let's think about that.
For about a year. While we have taken many measures to limit the impact to our servers, they are not responding as fast as usual. Yeah, blame the servers. Rest assured, our team is monitoring closely our servers and taking every measures? That doesn't sound right. So that our services remain up. Thank you for your patience. Okay, so this new generation of consoles, day one games, don't get too excited to start playing them right away because there usually have been issues.
Is this happening with every game lately?
It seems that, and I can't, what's the last game I got for Xbox One? I can't even remember the one I actually bought. But it seems that there's always like an update that it needs, and then for some reason on day one, it just can't update. And it's like, well, I wonder, because I've never done this, I wonder if I just shut Xbox Live off and try and play it that way. Maybe I should just do that from now on. And then, you know, hopefully the game will play. That'll be stupid if it doesn't, because some people aren't on Xbox Live, or the internet, for that matter. So, yeah, this is just ridiculous because, you know, it's released today and it's like the next gen game. This game was supposed to come out on the launch of the Xbox One. And I actually had it pre-ordered with my day one Xbox One.
Okay.
And they're like, okay, we're going to push it back even more. And I'm like, fine, I'm always cool with that because it's like, sure, take more time, polish off the game. Yeah, and then you get this crap. So I'm hoping I'm going to come home tomorrow from work and fire it up and it'll be okay. But we'll have to see. So I can't talk about the game tonight because I haven't even played it yet. I installed it a little bit. Yeah, that's about it. But I'm hearing early reviews are kind of like, don't get too hyped up, not as exciting as you might think. It kind of goes back to being just a regular third-person shooter when, you know, the hype is like, oh, you can walk around Chicago and hack everything, hack the street.
Yeah, well, what good is that when, you know, you can't
I can't even connect to anything. How's he supposed to hack anything?
Now, here's the question I have. Are they having similar types of issues with PlayStation and Day One games?
That, I don't know. I think it's just Ubisoft altogether, which is, you know, the company, the publisher. It's just a server issue, it sounds like.
Yeah. See, it's just frustrating. You know, I think of it like, oh my God, like, you know, you spend all this money, you're ready to play it, and then you're screwed. You know, you can't do anything.
Well, it's not even that. It's not even like, this game looks cool. Like, yeah, I'll try it out. No, this is a highly anticipated,
right,
supposedly AAA game that I think they announced at E3 last year, maybe even before that.
Mm-hmm.
For the new generation of consoles. And this is, you know, supposed to be the big thing. So I don't know. It's really like, and it's hard to think back to, like, the last generation of consoles and their launch. Like, was it this bad? You know, like, all this confusion and internet problems and, I don't know. Just not too impressed so far. I'm just, you know, I'm glad I have it. I'm glad I have an Xbox One. Because hopefully soon things will kind of get going. And I guess for the 360, the summer of 2006, I played Prey. I really liked that game. But then Gears came out in November of 2006. And I was like, whoa, okay, here we go. And I really have not had that moment yet. I thought it was going to be Titanfall, but it really didn't really turn out to be. It's a fun game. I do have a lot of fun with it, but I'm really not that addicted to it like I was with, like, when Gears came out. All I have to say.
Well, with all of this frustration, one thing that you don't have to worry about is all of this stuff automatically getting posted to Facebook. Because Facebook has made a small but very important change to its products. Most biggest is to Instagram. If you like a photo in Instagram, it's not automatically shared to Facebook. The same goes for photos posted to Instagram. And unless you deliberately tap Facebook's buttons within Instagram, it's not sharing. And this may sound like, okay, well, it's an Instagram change because it's removing, you know, its ability to share anything to Facebook. Well, it's taking that idea much further because Facebook is now discouraging developers from adding auto posting to their apps at all. And yeah, I gotta say this, you know, when I used to use Facebook, this was very frustrating to be like, somebody is playing a game, like, you know, what was it, Farmville or whatever it was. And it was like, you constantly see the updates.
Get flooded.
Yeah, you'd get flooded with all of this stuff. And, you know, it's just like, I don't need to see every single nugget and shred of things you are playing and doing, consuming and checking in and all of this stuff, like, in your feed. Like, post something of value. And it was just like, I don't care about all of this stuff anymore. Like,
couldn't you have done, like, with Raptor, couldn't you do that to, you know, every time you get, like, an Xbox achievement, like, all that
crap? Yes, yes. Yeah. And, you know, for
no
a little...
No one wants that.
Yeah, for a little bit of time, it was fun. And, you know, I think of it also like Foursquare. You know, when Foursquare first came out, it was like, oh, post that you're checking in and this and that.
Well,
now
especially
like,
when I first started using Foursquare,
oh
I checked into everything.
Right, and
you
were
you
posting.
And Alan were like, what? He's going nuts with this.
It's like, okay, I don't care anymore. Stop posting it. So, you know, it's just this overload. And, you know, obviously that was a big reason I moved to Google Plus was just better quality posts and more engaging stuff. But yeah, you know, it's interesting that Facebook has kindly said, all right, well, you know, maybe people don't want all of the stuff. And according to the article here from The Verge, Facebook about a year ago started noticing that its users were marking lots of auto-posted stories as spam. So stories from music apps, news apps, social games, and all this stuff were just, you know, people were like, I don't want this. It's spam. So, you know, they always monkey around with how posts show up in your newsfeed, and they dropped it less and less and less, and they're saying that the number of users marking stories as spam also dropped up to 75% because Facebook wasn't showing them as much. So yeah, Facebook, you know, they want to put everything out there, put it all public, but I think they finally found the pendulum swinging too far in one direction. You know, it's like, okay, and enough with all this garbage. I want to read posts about things I actually care about or something. Yeah. So, yeah, if you're a Facebook user, maybe things will get cleaned up for you a little.
Oh, my wife likes it because all they do is exchange, like, baby pictures with her and her friends. So, yeah.
Great.
Hey, if that's what you're into, that's okay. Go for it.
Guess. Anyhow, let's get into Geek this week. And I'm just going to go first because I really didn't have much. Now, obviously, well, maybe not obviously, but next week is Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference. The big keynote is on Monday. So that's going to be the 1st of June. Now, the 2nd of June. So we'll obviously be going over, you know, everything that happened. It'll be our coverage episode. But the rumor mill is obviously starting to crank into high gear with all of, like, the last-minute rumors. And it's just like every Apple event, it's like, oh God, these are ridiculous. Oh my God, just stop. And like people are like buying into it. And of course, it's like a giant echo chamber of one place reports it, and then 20 other places, and then 30 other places. And it's like on and on and on and on. It's like, okay, enough. So the rumor now is that there's going to be a home automation platform that Apple is going to maybe unveil at WWDC. And I'm just like, no. No, like, this makes absolutely no sense. Like,
what would it be?
It's funny. One of my friends at work, he was just like, he's like, they're going to call it, I think he said Home Play. So it's like, there's CarPlay, there's AirPlay. He's like, okay. Home Play, control all your light bulbs from your iPhone. I'm like, no, it can't work that way. Mostly because home automation is not about just the platform. It's all of the connected things going on here. And Apple is not about to get into a product category where it's like, okay, well, first you got to buy the Apple Hub, and then you got to buy all of these light switches and all these dimmers, and you got to retrofit your house and all this stuff. And it's like, most people aren't going to do that.
No.
And second of all, it's expensive. Like, every time I want to buy a smart light switch for my smart thing system, it's like $45 for a light switch.
Yeah.
You know, if I buy
they're just going to go for things that people can walk into the Apple store and like take home with them.
Exactly.
Not a huge setup. Okay, Apple guy, genius bar guy, come to my house and everything.
And Apple's not going to sell all of these parts and the infrastructure to have all of these cloud computing actions and things going is way beyond what they do now. And you know, being a SmartThings user, I've had SmartThings almost a year now, and being, you know, a tinkerer, it's a lot of fun to kind of play and hack my house and do all of that stuff. But I can tell you, it is not ready for prime time. You know, it's like, it's fun to play and have my lights turn on and off and all of that, but yeah, it's like not ready for prime time. So
just like Ubisoft servers. You know someone that would be able to afford this if it does come to fruition. Yakov.
Yakov would totally be able to do it. But I will say though, home automation stuff is really cool. It's a lot of fun. But I think the reason this rumor exists is because Google bought Nest a few months ago. And people are like, oh, what's Apple going to do to counter that? And it's like, well, Google buying Nest doesn't make a lot of sense for Google. Like, I still don't understand what they're really going to do with it. For Nest, it's a really good advantage because it gives them huge amounts of resources and engineering know-how and all this extra stuff. But, yeah, I just – don't think it's going to happen. And no iWatch. That's my prediction for WWDC.
I predicted that there would be.
No. I have a $5 bet with one of my coworkers that it's not going to happen. So we'll know next week. So, yeah, I don't think anything groundbreaking. You know, Apple, I don't think is going to... They wouldn't release a new product category at WWDC. I feel like they're going to do it at its own special event. Uh-huh. I don't think they would introduce an entirely new product category. Like maybe Macworld, when they used to do Macworld, they, you know, obviously they used to do new products. The iPhone was introduced at Macworld. But WWDC, it's like it's all about software. It's all about getting developers together. You know, we're going to see iOS 8. We're going to see OS 10. Point, what are they on? 10.11, I think, is the next version. Sorry, 10.10. It'll be 10.10. So, you know, I think they're going to preview that. They're going to preview a little bit of iOS 8, maybe refresh a little bit of hardware, and that's going to be it. If there's going to be any cool, crazy innovations, it's going to be in software. Like, why would you do hardware innovations at a software conference?
Yeah. Is Dre going to come out?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a tough one.
I read an interesting article about this, and they talked about, it's like, yeah, the Beats by Dre headphones are so popular and everything, and I haven't had a chance to really mess with them at all. But Apple, to buy a product like this, is just kind of weird. Like, why would they buy, you know, these headphones? And they already sell them in their stores. But they are buying Dre and his partner. And
Jeremy Iovine, yeah.
Yeah, so if you think about it like that, they're buying those two guys, basically.
Yeah, well, historically, when Apple buys a company, they're not buying the product. They're buying the engineering and everything. Like, that was Siri. Siri was its own app that I used to use. And it was like, oh, Apple bought us. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then all of a sudden, it was like, it stopped working. And, you know, it wasn't, and Siri, the way it works now is very different than the apps. And it's like, they bought the engineering. They didn't just buy the product. So I don't think Apple would buy Beats to make headphones. I think they would buy Beats for the music portion, the Beats Music subscription service.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's my geek this week. Nothing too crazy, but yeah, enough with the crazy rumors. Like, seriously, like, we'll come on. Week. These rumors, some of these rumors are just absolutely ridiculous.
We'll see. And you got us tickets this year, right?
Got a what?
You got us tickets this year, right?
Yeah, actually, one cool thing.
At the Moscone Center.
Yeah, one cool thing is that Apple did announce today that they are live streaming WWDC. So no last minute wondering if they're going to live stream it. You got to be on a Mac or an iOS device or Windows using QuickTime. Really? Yeah, and in Safari. So if you're on a Mac, you have to be using Safari. On an iPad, you have to use Safari. If you're on Windows, you have to have QuickTime installed in your browser. I don't know if it has to be Safari on Windows. But yeah, they will stream it, and on Apple TV, the special channel will kick in also.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah. And it'll be like 1 o'clock in the afternoon or something?
It'll be, I believe it's 12, because I think it's 9 o'clock on the West Coast. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so moving on to my geek this week, I just purchased, I thought it was an Amazon Lightning deal, it actually wasn't. But if you are a Prime member, you are in luck because they have, and I got it about a week or two ago, an awesome phone charger. It's a power bank. It's called the Fotive?
Fotive? Yeah, I'm looking at this. How do you say this?
Yeah, I'm not sure how you say it either, and I own it. But I got this. It's a dual USB. It's just a brick. You see?
Huh.
Okay. Dual USB,
yeah,
and you charge it with a USB, and I just basically plug it into my computer when my computer's on to charge it.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually used it, I think I used it when I was in Boston. Yeah, when we were watching Godzilla, I was like charging like two phones at once, my phone and my friend's phone. And it was awesome.
That's really cool.
I was very, very impressed with it. This is the third, I would say, power brick or power portable charger that I've had for cell phones. I got one for my iPhone 4S and it didn't really work out too well. And then I think I had one too for my Android phone. And
okay.
It wasn't that great either. But this one I'm very impressed with. I would say, and this is kind of like not paying that close attention to it. I really want to do a test with it, you know, to get a really, really good readout. in 15 minutes, I got maybe between 10 and 20% of a charge.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Now, if you combine that with the, you know, the charge card, like portable charger cable that I have, like you'll, if you have that with you and you keep a charge card in your wallet, you're always set.
Sure, sure. And it was pretty cool because I just had this in my pocket and I had two USB wires coming out of me and I was charging phones. So I was like, yeah, I'm a portable charging station. But the cool thing is, and this is kind of weird now that I'm looking at this, because I ordered this maybe like 3 weeks ago, and it looks like it's still on sale if you are a Prime member. I got the Fotive 5200 mAh portable backup battery charger power bank, dual USB, for $30, down from $80, which maybe it's only $30, and they just put $80 there first to get you excited about it, because, well, if they did that, then I'm a sucker. And the other one, they have a 3,000 mAh portable backup battery for $20. So you might as well get the $30 one.
Yeah.
You know? And the 3,000 mAh is only one USB to charge. So, yeah, that is an awesome deal. And it looks like they have a ton of other backup things. They have one that looks like a lipstick, and that is... Oh, no, that's not Fotive, sorry. A 6,000 mAh one for $25. Yeah, but if you're a Prime member, check it out. If you're looking for like a resource, something to help you just charge your phone on the go, because I was very, very impressed with that. I got like so excited. I kept looking at my phone during the movie, and I was like, wow, it's really charging. Oh, it's really, like, doing a good job, too.
Wow, it actually works.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. I know we're at the end of the show anyway, but I am going to, let's see. Oh, crap. No, of course, I don't have a iPhone 5 charger.
Hey, you need a charge card.
I can't do it. Yeah, well, hey, maybe that'll be my next purchase. So, yeah, I highly recommend, you'll see it in the show notes, the Fotive, or Fotive, whatever, portable backup external battery charger it's for a lot of stuff. It's anything that uses USB, basically.
Okay, cool.
5S, 5C, 5, 4S, Galaxy S5, S4, S3, Note, yeah, a bunch of crap. So, yeah, $30, too. For
nice
5200 mAh, so awesome stuff. And the last thing I'm geeking out to, because of this new X-Men movie, I'm like, okay, well, I've been a fan of Comixology probably since the Avengers movie came out, and it's interesting to see, because I read another article about the influx of people into actual comic book stores because of this X-Men movie.
Okay,
it's getting people that, you know, necessarily aren't excited about comics to begin with, excited about them, which is pretty cool. So I did not want to spend a ton of money on Comixology because, yes, comics are about $2 each, basically. Right. If you're lucky, they're a dollar. And you could spend 10, 15 minutes reading one comic, and then you're done. And then it's like, okay, well, I want to read the next issue. And if there's 12 issues, then guess what? You know, you just spent $24.
Right.
So there is an alternative, which I just found out about. I really didn't know about this before. Marvel Unlimited, which you can pay $60 a year and have unlimited access to Marvel's back catalog of, you know, it's not every single comic, but it's kind of like the Netflix of digital comics. Think about it that way.
Right.
They're not going to have brand new stuff out there. I think it's going to take like 6 months to a year in order to get on this. But I didn't do the $60 route because I don't know if I'm going to be reading that much. But I wanted to check out the Days of Future Past, the Uncanny X-Men. I think it was two issues. It was like 140, 141 or something like that. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm not going to pay $4 for this because I'm never going to go back to it. I just want to read it and kind of get an understanding of it better. So I did the $10 for 1 month Marvel Unlimited subscription. And now if I don't cancel this in a month, it's going to charge me another $10, you know? So I'm like, all right, let me just read as much as I can in a month. And then, you know, it'll be totally worth the money, you know? So I did the two comics that, you know, the movie is supposedly about, and the biggest difference is Wolverine goes back in time.
Oh, man, now you're ruining it. His
consciousness goes back in time instead of Kitty Pryde, who, you know, that's who went back in time in the movie. So I read it. I enjoyed it. I wasn't, like, thrilled by it or anything. But I started Avengers versus X-Men, which came out, I think, in 2012. And I'm really enjoying that. It's really, really cool. If you have Marvel Unlimited or even Comixology, I would highly recommend it. I'm really enjoying it. It's interesting. It's like, you see that, Avengers versus X-Men. It's like, okay, what would cause these two huge, you know, superhero forces to fight each other? Like, I can't even think what it would be. And then you start reading it, and you're like, oh, okay. That's a good excuse. Okay, I'll go with this. So I'm really enjoying it, and I think if they ever made this movie, say in like 10 years, it would be absolutely insane, because there are a ton of superheroes just fighting each other, and superpowers, and celestial powers, and everything, and I'm really enjoying it. I'm about, I think we only have like 3 or 4 issues left, so it's really, really cool, and yeah, I downloaded a couple other things too, on the Marvel Unlimited subscription. So for $10 a month, you know, if you just want to get a couple series down, just do like 1 or 2 months for $20. Because I definitely spent over $10 already.
Really?
But because definitely because I have the subscription, it doesn't matter because they're all within that $10 a month, you know, umbrella.
Right.
So it was definitely better than me going the Comixology route. and that's not bashing Comixology. Mm-hmm. I think their guided view is much better. I haven't had a good experience reading, you know, panel for panel. I'm basically reading the entire page on my Nexus 7, which is fine. But Comixology, I really enjoyed, you know, the guided view a lot better than I am with Marvel Unlimited. So, yeah, Avengers versus X-Men, Marvel Unlimited. Yeah, and my power bank for my phone. Yeah, all high recommendations.
There you go. Excellent stuff. Very cool. Very cool stuff. Yep. All right, guys. So we actually don't have any feedback or items of note. So, yeah, would love to hear from you guys. Please, please, you know, get all the info over at thegeekcast.com. Email, phone number, Twitter, all that good stuff. You can just ask us, too. On Twitter, I'm at Aaron Crocco and also at The Geek Cast.
Goes with 360.
And all the information about the show, past episodes, show notes, all that good stuff, contact information is available at thegeekcast.com. So we will see you guys next time for episode 388. Take it easy, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I'm going to go see if Watch Dogs is working.